Last week, we began discussing the sugyas of the brachas concerning bris milah. It's really the last topic for our mini-series of bris milah. So the Gemara, the end of Masechtas, the end of Perek Levelez, the Milah, Masechtas Shabbos, tells us there were three different brachas that are recited at the time of the milah. The first is the bracha ala milah, which is really not that surprising, like any other mitzvah. The second was the bracha of lachnis over brisa shalav mavinu. That was a very difficult bracha for us to understand. We mentioned at the very end of the shul last week that there is a major question to be shown him, whether this is a brachas ha-mitzvah v'chlal. Even though it sounds like a brachas ha-mitzvah, she could shown him mitzvah yisrov tzivanu. The obvious problem is, what are you making a brachas ha-mitzvah for? You just said a brachas ha-mitzvah, alamilah. So what's the additional dimension of lachniso? So we concluded last week, the Rambam's unique sheet, the Rambam holds, that lachniso is a special bracha, which is instituted connected the special mitzvah that the father has to do the bris milah. There's a general mitzvah of milah on everybody, and then there's a unique chavos ha'av to perform the bris milah. And therefore, the bracha lachniso is said. That's why according to the Rambam Shita, if the father is not around, so then the bracha is not said. So our minig is not that way. Our minig is that we said last week that we recite lachniso even in the absence of the father. So the question is, why is that? What is the lumdus of the bracha of lachniso if it's not a bracha of shavach? I mean, the Tam says it's a bracha of shavach, but those who hold it's a bracha of mitzvah, what kind of a bracha of mitzvah is it? So there are some who suggest that maybe the bracha of lachniso is recited under the additional dimension of the mitzvah that first mitzvah has, that really no other mitzvah has. Most mitzvahs are just a ma'isa mitzvah. Finished, the person puts on tefillin, the person sits in a sukkah, has a lulav, has a shofar, shakes the lulav. So those mitzvahs don't really change the person all that much. A person is just as Jewish whether he shikul lulav or didn't shikul lulav. But the mitzvah of bris milah is very different. The mitzvah of bris milah, in a certain sense, is a mashal of the kedushas Yisrael. Even though it is true that a person without a bris milah is Jewish, there's no question about that. He has kedushas Yisrael. Nevertheless, there's something missing. There's some chisar, some deficiency in his being part of the Yom Hashem, as the pasuk says. The person who's not doesn't receive a bris milah, so is he's nichlus le'me'amav. He's separated, he's cut off from his nation. Usually the punishment of kares is reserved for an individual who violates a lo saseh. Here kares is applies to a person who doesn't perform a mitzvah saseh, perhaps because the very nature of this mitzvah saseh means you want to be part of the Yom Hashem. A person who doesn't want to be part of the Yom Hashem is that by nichlus me'amav. That's in fact most probably where the Rambam's opinion is. The Rambam writes that a person who is an Orel, so is not permitted to do a whole series of things that a Kohen is usually permitted to do. Let's say, for example, a Kohen usually eats Truma, a Kohen does a vote on the base of Mikdash. An Orel is not permitted to do any of those things. So why is that? So the Rambam writes, because an Orel is like a Za'ar. An Orel is considered to be like a non-Kohen. Why is an Orel considered like a non-Kohen? So the Mefarshim explained, because in order to have Kedushas Kahuna, you have to first have full-fledged Kedushas Yisrael. Kedushas Kahuna is built, it's a building block of Kedusha. You start out with Kedushas Yisrael, and then you become a Levi, and then you become a Kohen. If there's some deficiency in your Kedushas Yisrael, then you can't really get the full-fledged Kedushas Kahuna as well. So the told bound that a person is an Orel, they're not quite a full Kedushas Yisrael. If a person is not quite a full Kedushas Yisrael, then it's not shaykh them to a full Kedushas Kahuna. And the male, they wouldn't be permitted to enjoy the privileges of doing the avodah in the base of Mikdash, eating truma, etc. So this is true that the mitzvah bris milah carries with it this unique aspect, this feature of being machnis, the person into the bris. This is master, this Kedushas Yisrael. So then perhaps we can understand why there are two brachas. The bracha of ala milah is recited in the regular mitzvah. It's a regular ma'aseh mitzvah, like any other mitzvah, say. It's like sitting in the sukkah, like shaking lulav, hearing the shofar. But then lachnisa b'vrisa shlav avinu means there's an additional dimension of mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to be master, Kedushas Yisrael, as the bracha sounds. The mitzvah between machnas and the bris, above and beyond the regular mitzvah, say, just cutting off, doing the physical act of cutting off the orlah, to doing the bris milah is machnas, the child into Kedushas Yisrael. That's considered to be like a mitzvah in and of itself. So perhaps that's the reason why there's an additional law bracha. So I call upon him, everybody agrees that we recite the bracha of lachniso, but it's unclear what the nature of this bracha is all about. Is the nature of the bracha, like Rabbi Natan said, that it's a bracha of shavach, that it doesn't really relate to the mitzvah proper, it's just merely praising a Kadosh Baruch Hu for the institution of bris milah. Or no, is the bracha of lachniso a birchas mitzvah? Then you have to start to figure out which birchas mitzvah is it. Is the bracha birchas mitzvah for the chovas av, like the Rambam says, is it a birchas mitzvah for the chov lachniso of a bris? It's unclear which dimension of mitzvah that we're focusing on. what started out as a theoretical machlokas in the Rishonim, what the nature of the bracha of Lachnisa was all about, is that a bracha is a mitzvah, is a bracha is a shabach, now plays out lemaisa in terms of a very practical difference, when precisely this bracha of Lachnisa was recited. So the Rishonim of Machlokas tells us, quotes in the end of the laws of the Mila, the Machlokas said, Rishonim, when is the right time to recite this bracha? So there was some Rishonim of the opinion that this bracha has to be recited before the mitzvah is performed. This is the opinion of the Rashbam. So according to the Rashbam, the statement of the Dvar of the Bris is, the Mo'el recites the bracha, Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvah Tzvah Al HaMila, then the father recites, Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvah Tzvah Lachnisa Mavisha Shvam Avinu, and then the Mo'el does the actual cut, then he does the actual mitzvah of Bris Mila. This is the opinion of the Rashbam, because the Rashbam seems to understand that this is the bracha is a mitzvah, so when it comes to bracha is a mitzvah, we have a rule called a mitzvah, the Varachlem of Elas Yasan, you always have to recite the bracha before the mitzvah is performed. So according to the Rashbam, since the bracha of Lachnisa is not all that different, at least theoretically, from the bracha of Al HaMila, just as Al HaMila has to be performed specifically before the bris, so to Lachnisa has to be recited immediately before the bris as well. Of course, that throws into the question, you're being masik between the bracha of Al HaMila and the bris itself. So the Rashbam probably understood that's not considered to be a hafsek, because you have to recite two brachas, that's the inyan liinyan, the same way we recite the marshal of Brach of Shechayanu. After we say Alma to this lulav before we shake the lulav, and that's not called the Hasek. So the Rashbam understood that both brachas are both relating to the mitzvah, and that's not considered to be a Hasek. So according to Shittas Rashbam, the state of Dvarim is the Alamil of the Moel, Lachniso of the Father, and then and only then is the bris performed. And Rabbi Natan disagreed. Rabbi Natan said no, that the bracha is recited, the bracha of Lachniso is recited dafke after the bris. And according to Ben Atam, L'chor, it shouldn't come as much as a surprise. If the bracha is a bracha shavach, so then L'chor, it's not bound by the rules of Kol HaMitzvahs Mevarachlem Ovel HaSiyatim, it's not really a bracha mitzvah. So the truth is that Ben Atam himself seems to give a little bit of a different twist. Seems to give a little bit of a different lumbus bedas of Ben Atam, why the Seder HaDvarim is flipped. But L'maisa, Ben Atam holds, it's clear that Ben Atam holds that the bracha is recited specifically after the bris is over. So how do we pass in Malach? It's very hard to be able to vote. According to Rashbam, you have to recite the bracha davka before the cutting. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you have to recite the bracha davka after the cutting. So what do you do? So the Rosh writes in the end of Perek Avilas Namila and Masechta Shabbos that we make a pshara, make a compromise. We try to make everybody happy. How do you do that? So we already, when we spoke earlier on about the Seder Adar of a Bris Mila, so we pointed out that there are two major components of a bris. There's the Hasaras Arla, there's the removing of the actual foreskin, and then there's the Priya, then there's the pulling back or the uncovering of the lower membrane, the softer membrane, underneath the Arla, and both of them have to be performed. Mal v'lo parkiyula mal, the Gemara says that if a person only does the Mila and doesn't do the Priya, then the Mila is not acceptable. The child is still considered to be an RL. In the days of the Rishonim, many Mo'olim had the practice of doing it in two different stages. They would do the Mila, and then a couple of seconds later, they would do the Priya. Many Mo'olim today do it in one fell swoop. There are different Minhagim, there are different Minhagim in the days of the Rishonim, there are different Minhagim amongst Mo'olim today, but the Rosh was working with the custom that there were two different procedures. You did the Bris Mila, you did the Hasaras Arla, and then a couple of seconds later, you pulled back, you did what's called the Priya. These two procedures can be divided from one another to such an extent that there used to be a practice that they would be mechabe two different mo'olim. I guess we run short in terms of kibudin. It was not as there, most people I don't think would do this anymore. I remember when I made, when we had Meir Akam was born, so I asked Rabbi Katsky and the father, so I asked him, how many kibudim am I allowed to? So his response was, Rabbi, you tell me how many kibudim you need, and I will tell you how many kibudim you have. He said, I'll make up the kibbutzim, you know. As you know, mina kisei, to the kisei, up the kisei, put the baby up, back up, everyone has the kibbutzim. So the days of the Rishon, they came up with a smarter one. They split up the meal itself, that one meal did the meal and one meal did the priya. So that's okay, there's nothing wrong with that. The other thing is that there was a machloekes supposed to him, can you do that on Shabbos? So the Beis Yosef had a chiddush, the Beis Yosef writes, that if you do that on Shabbos, that may be a Shabbos Chil Shabbos. Why is that? Because the mole is doing the Asaras Arla, he's not really doing the mitzvah. He's not completing the mitzvah. He's only doing half the mitzvah, so he's being Mechal Shabbos and not performing a mitzvah. When the second mole comes in and does the Priya, so he's also being Mechal Shabbos, he's also not doing a mitzvah. So zero plus zero equals zero. So each one didn't do the mitzvah. The ma'aseh the child is not an oral. The ma'aseh during the week it would be okay. The ma'aseh the mitzvah's meal was done bein shneihem. But on Shabbos maybe that would be a problem. So the Beis Yosef has a whole pilpul whether that's a problem or not. So the Maharshal was machmer in that shaila. The Maharshal says he thinks it's a serious problem. He thinks that both mol and machayev skila, because the first mol was did a chavol a shlova makom mitzvah, and the second mol did a chavol a shlova makom mitzvah. That would be a problem. So the Ramah disagreed with that. The Ramah and the Maharshal argued with a lot of things. They were related to each other also. They were contemporaries and they were related. And I think they were brothers and cousins or something. They were. I think there may have been a double relationship in those days. Everyone was related in a lot of different ways. So the Ramah disagrees with his contemporary, the Maharshal, and he says, no, he doesn't think that it's a problem. And he brings an interesting raya. He says, the Mishnah says in Maseches Tzachim that when they would offer the Korban Pesach, so they would divide up the kibbutzim also. So one person would shecht, one person would do zukah zadam. Everyone would, they wanted to get all the Quranim into the picture. And the Mishnah says, kibaseo b'chol kach, maseo b'shabbos. The same way that they would do it during the weekday, they would do it on Shabbos also. So how can you do that on Shabbos? You give one person one avoda, one person the other avoda. Isn't that considered to be like this shaila, that there's no one kind who's doing the entire mitzvah? So you see that Chazal didn't care about that. You see Chazal had no qualms with that. That as long as the mitzvah's Korban Pesach is done, so my nafka mina, whether I have the mitzvah, you do have the mitzvah, as long as the mitzvah is done, that's okay. It's mutter even on Shabbos. That was the Ramah's raya to permit the splitting up of the meal between the two molim even on Shabbos. And on this question, whether that's a good raya or not, the chuyot, so back and forth, a lot of long this about that discussion in the Ramah. But I'll call upon him. On a normal weekday, there was nobody had any problems with this. All the, it was common practice in the days of the Rishonim that they would split up the meal and the priya. One melded one, and one melded the other. So comes the Rosh and says, l'chor, that practice can now solve the problem in terms of the bracha of lachniso. We have a shaila, we had a shtuk, the bracha of lachniso. According to the Rashbam, lachniso has to be recited specifically before the meal. And according to Rabbi Natan, lachniso is supposed to be recited after the meal. Says the Rosh in Masechta Shabbos, we can make everybody happy. What we should do is as follows. This should be the new seder advarim for every bris. Says the Rosh, first the Maor recites the bracha of Al Hamila. Then the Maor goes ahead and he cuts off the Orla, does not do the Priya yet. At that moment, right after he cuts off the Orla, he completes cutting off the Orla, then the father comes up to the plate and he recites Lachnisa Mavisa Shlam Levinu, and then 2 seconds later, either that Maor or another Maor, whoever's doing the Priya, goes ahead and does the Priya. So that way the bracha of Lachnisa was didn't serve as a hefsek between the alamil of the moil and the beginning of the mitzvah. That was the Rabbi Natan's bachur with that. On the other hand, the Chabad Rashbam's shita that lachmisa was recited before the mitzvah was technically completed, because malvul opara kiel lo mal. So mama shalom ayisrael. So the Rosh was matul shalom between the Rashbam and Rabbi Natan, figured out the perfect place to place the bracha of lachmisa. Comes to Menachas Chinuch and Mitzvah Beis of Bris Mila, and he says he thinks that this Russia solution is a disaster. Forget about the physical disaster, forget about the complications of coordinating this stunt. But says Menachas Chinuch, he thinks that it doesn't accomplish anything. The Mamash lose out the entire bracha. Why do you lose out the bracha? So the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos that we'll need a priya la'avim avinu. It's the whole institution of Priya. We already mentioned this also in the early Shurim. Priya was not part of Pashas Lech Lecha. Priya was given as Halacha L'Moshe Sinai. In the days of the Yavut, they weren't L'chuyv to do Priya. Whether they did it or not is a different story, but they weren't L'chuyv to do Priya. Priya only started post-Matan Torah, according to some Rishonim. It only started once they entered into Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara learns out Priya from the Pasuk in the Navi Yoshua. So the Rishonim write it was Halacha L'Moshe Sinai. And as Machorik is a Rishonim, whether that Halacha L'Moshe Sinai kicked in at the time of Matan Torah, whether that kicked in only B'chshat in Yisrael of Aretz. The fight has a strange concept in halacha, that there were certain halachas that only began B'chshat in Yisrael of Aretz, like Shechita. The whole parasha of Shechita, according to one opinion, was not given in the Midbar. In the Midbar, they were permitted to kill animals without Shechita. That there was machlekes ha-tanaim, maseches chulin. Some tanaim say that they had to bring karbonos, and they weren't allowed to eat chulin in the Midbar. They had to bring everything as karbonos. And the other day, I said, no, they didn't have to bring as karbonos. They didn't have to do Shechita, that they were able to do Nechira. They could just kill the animal, just chop the head off, and that would have also been okay in the days of the Midbar. So you have a strange concept that there are certain halachas that were nimsu and the Moshe Messinai to take effect, B'shat Kedisas on the Aretz. According to some Rishonim, Priya was such a halacha, that Priya was given at HaSinai, but it wasn't practiced in the Midbar. It only started in Meir Shubinum, when they crossed the Yarden, so then it only then did Priya kick in Lamaiz. A strange concept in halacha. But I call upon him, everybody agrees that Lonita Priya Le'amavina, that's the Gemara of the Feirish in Masechet Yevamos. So says the Mechaz Chinuch, what a strange bracha now. We're getting up and reciting a bracha, Asher Kiri Shanu Mitzvaisa Vitzivan Lachnisu Vivisa Shamavino, and we're doing the Priya. According to the Rashbam, we're trying to have this bracha recited before you mach this labris. Says the Mechaz Chinuch, Avmavino, Ravina would be at this bris mila. He wouldn't know what you're doing. Ravina never heard of Priya. According to Ravina, once you finished removing the oil, go down, have your bagels. It's over already. So it's a done deal. So according to the Knesset of Bris of Ravina, my Indian Priya ate till the Knesset of Bris of Ravina. That's in the Cheshirich time. So he says the Rosh is Eitzah. Sounds like a nice Eitzah, razzle, dazzle, chiddush, to try to make everybody happy. But he says, Lamaisa, it doesn't do anything. It defeats the entire purpose. Because how can you recite the bracha of Knesset of Bris of Shlom Ravina? That's something that Avraham Avinu himself never had. So what's the answer to this time of the Mechas Chinuch? So the answer is, based on something that we also alluded to earlier on, the Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva, that what would the halacha be if a person removed the orla and they forgot to do the priya? Then a week later, they realize that they forgot to do the priya. So of course you have to do it over again. It's a dimidarais. If you don't do it over again, the child is going to be chayav kares. So of course you have to repeat the priya. So it says the Chassam Sofer, which bracha should you recite? Should you make a bracha, asher kiddushonim mitzvayis tzvanu al hamila? How can you say al hamila? Mila means to remove the orla. What bracha should you make? Asher kiddushonim mitzvayis tzvanu al priya? You don't find a chazal ever instituted such a bracha. Not to make a bracha at all, how can you do that? You mechui midaraisa to do the priya. So it's a modern thing, it's a strange concept. What bracha should you recite? So the Chassam Sofer says he thinks that the bracha that you should recite is al hamila. Why? So says the Chassam Sofer, even though in Parshas Lech Lecha the word mila only means asaras arma. That is true, but the definition of that term has changed post-Matan Torah. When the Torah was mechadish to us, this halacha losh in the Sinai, that you require priya, it's not pshat that mila you were yoytze. You did the mila already with the asaras arla, and now there's a new halacha losh in the Sinai of priya, but rather the priya redefines mila. Mila until Matan Torah meant one thing, meant asaras arla. Post-Matan Torah, or post-Kenis L'Eretz Yisrael, mila has a different connotation. There's now a new halacha that you have to do priya, but the new halacha is not a separate entity in and of itself. It's not a separate and distinct mitzvah. It's not that there are two mitzvahs that are taking place. The mila and the priya is the new definition of mila post-Matan Torah. This is the Chassam Sofer Shulchan Aruch brings raya for this. So l'chora, according to Chassam Sofer, we can answer the Mechas Chinuch's time against the Rosh. The Rosh says that you make the bracha lachmis, the revisa shalom avinu, and all you do is the priya. Yet Avraham Avinu never did a priya, never heard a priya. So the answer is, what was the bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avraham Avinu? The bris was to do a mila. Himo lachem kol zachar. That was the bris. You have to do what's called the mila. That's called the kinesula bris. So until Matan Torah, mila had a certain definition. Then what's the definition change? Post Matan Torah, mila means asaras oil plus the act of priya. So now that becomes the new bris of Shalav Ravino. If a person removes the oil of his manazet and doesn't do priya, he has not been machlis for bris of Shalav Ravino. It's upshot that he just was mevatel the halacha mosh mizina. He didn't perform the mitzvah of parshas of Sefer Yeshua. No. The pasuk in Yeshua, the halacha mosh mizina, is megala to me, reveals to me that there's a new definition of bris Shalav Ravino. This is called mila. This manazet, anything short of the new Torah's definition of mila, is not called the kinesa labris. So according to this Chazam Sofer, then I understand how the bracha fits in nicely, that you can make the bracha lachris, the shibrivish alam avinu, even though what you are doing physically has nothing to do with Avraham Avinu, it doesn't matter. Once Matan Torah has been redefined what the brisish alam avinu is, one can recite the bracha lachris, the shibrivish alam avinu, even though that lachris, the shibrivish was going on a physical act that Avraham Avinu never heard of, never did, it doesn't matter. That's called, as man is there, the brisish alam avinu. So the Rosh's eight is a gvalk eight, so the only problem is, it only works for the molim who split up the mila from the priya. If you practice like many molim do today, that the mila and the priya is done in one fell swoop, it's one shot, so then how are you going to make this bracha? When are you going to make the bracha? So we're trying to solve the dilemma of the machlokes, the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam, where to place the bracha of lachniso. The Rosh came up with a great eitzah, putting right smack in the middle between the mila and the priya, but lamaisa practically it doesn't work as much as that. So what do you do with it? So therefore the minhag Yisrael has developed to be like a quasi-shitas Rosh. What we do today is not really what the Rosh said. The Rosh said there's a real break between mila and priya, and that's when the recitation of the bracha is. But we don't do that. What we do is as follows, that the moel recites the bracha ala mila, then he starts to cut. And as the moel is cutting, as he's doing the mitzvah, the father immediately jumps in and he screams out, lachnis avisa shalom avinu. So did he get it in exactly before, exactly after? He got it in somewhere in the middle. So that it's a watered down version of what the Rosh said. According to the Rosh, there's a real break in the action, and the father gets up and he says lachnis, and then the moel continues with the prayer. It's not as that, it's gidav yod vav yod, everything is at the same time. So that's where the source of our custom today, that the father shouts out the lachnis. So it's the second, as soon as the alamil is over, so he jumps right away and he says, lachnis avisa shalom avinu. I was once at a bris, that the male recited the bracha al hamila, and the father jumped immediately and he said lech niso, and then the person who was supposed to say the bar priyagofen, so he had missed the message, he had a mixed signal, and he thought that he was also supposed to scream out bar priyagofen. That's what happened. The father screams out lech niso v'shalom avinu, and then the guy screams out bar priyagofen. You know where he's coming to go for. He didn't have a cup of wine, he didn't have anything, there was no bagel, there was nothing, and he screamed up Bar Priyagofen. So, I remember what they were saying this year over one to some of my boys in Yeshiva, so I was trying to explain to them what the reaction of most of the people were. So, this particular line that I'm going to say is not going to come out too well on the tape, but basically the motion that most people did was that, and it was all sides, the guy mom just jumped the gun. So in case anyone didn't hear that, I just made an illegal movement in the backfield, if I'm not mistaken, and So the Maiso, at the end of the day, where and when and how we recite this bracha gets recited. So we do recite the bracha of Alamila, we recite the bracha of Lach Niso. There's a third bracha that appears in the Gemara at the end of the Ferkel of the Mila. That's also recited between the Gemara at a bris. That's the bracha of Ashakidesh, Ashakidosh, a lot of different nuschals in this bracha. Ashakidesh is the Bibetan. It's a very, very controversial bracha. Not controversial, you know, really controversial, but there's a major machlotsim in the Rishonim. Who the bracha is talking about? Who's the kiddush he did? Who's the yedid mibetan? The Avram Yitzchak. It's unclear who the players in the bracha are. It's unclear whether the nuscha bracha is ashakidush, ashakidash. The Shach quotes different minhagim about whether it's tziva latzil yidus, tzave latzil yidus. The different connotations of the bracha. If the nuscha bracha is tziva latzil yidus, it means it's in the past tense that we're saying our kiddush bracha gave us the mitzvah of bris milah, and that protects our children. If you say the nuscha bracha tzave yididus, so that means it's a bakash. The Rebbe Shalom, please protect our children. So again, a lot of different customs about what the Nusach HaBrach is. But the one thing everybody agrees upon, they have to say it. That's Medina the Gemara. One of the brachas that Chazal Masakin, Bishas Bris Mila. The Gemara doesn't mention reciting this bracha over kosher yayin, mikra din. You don't need a cup of wine to recite the bracha.
I don't think we recite the bracha of Shechianu.
Oh, we're going to get to that. We'll get to Shechianu. That's a bracha that Machlokes is a Rishon, so they do recite in the Chutzot, they don't. We'll talk about it in a minute, about where this bracha comes from. So the bracha at the beginning of the Gemara is Asher Kidesh. It doesn't have to be recited over a cup of wine, Ikra Din. The Bishoshim quotes as an age-old minhag that this bracha is recited over a cup of wine, like we do over many things. We recite Shevir brachas over wine, Kiddush, Abdaluch, Samazan, where we always try to make things over a kosher bracha. Because Medina the Gemara, it's not necessary to recite it over kosher yayin, it poses a little bit of a halachic problem, the recitation of this bracha of kosher yayin. That's in terms of the hefsek, in terms of the bar priyagofen. The person who recites the bracha, he says bar priyagofen, and the chori should drink the wine right away. What right does he have to say asher kiddush, which is in effect the hefsek? When it comes to kiddush and abdallah, those are meikra din required to be recited over a cup of wine, so that's not considered to be hefsek. Chazal mesaken, you make bar priyagofen, you make abdallah, and you drink the wine, so that's not a problem. But asher kiddush was never instituted by Chazal, it's a minhag for the goyim, for the rishonim, an old minhag Yisrael, to recite it over a cup of wine, but since it doesn't appear this way in the Gemara, so the chora meikra din, you should drink a little bit of the wine after the bar priyagofen. So the Beis Yosef writes that that's not what the minhag is. The minhag is that we assume that even though it's not medina to recite it over wine, the same way that Kiddush and Adol are not a hefsek, this is also not a hefsek. It's not Mikra Din. Bishan says, Kach Nagu, that the minhag Yisrael to recite of a kosher wine is enough to label Yasha Kiddush as not really certain, not really constituting a hefsek, and that's what we generally do. Then there are further different minhagim. So everybody waits till after the Asher Kiddush to drink the wine. And there's a further Shaila, should you wait till after you name the baby to drink the wine also? So there's some who argue, yeah, that the whole Lokeva is saying that the whole thing is also Meinyan Meinyan, none of it is considered to be Hefsek. And you can drink the wine all the way at the end. After you finish the whole story, then you can drink the wine. And others say, no, that's kind of like I said. It means, okay, the bracha of Asher Kiddush, all right, it's still a bracha, that's still Meinyan Meinyan. But the name of the baby, that's already too much of Hefsek. So you have different minhagim within different communities as to when precisely the wine is drunk at that point. There are some who depending on whether the same person names the baby and makes the brachas, so there are some who argue that if one person is making the bar priyagofen in the Kiddush HaKidesh and someone else is naming the baby, then for sure the person who made the bracha should recite should drink the wine at that point. That's what I think most people do. I think most Christians that you're at, and usually the person who recites the HaKidesh does in fact take a little bit of a sip of the wine at that point. Then the minute they fill it up a little bit more, put a little drop of wine.
Why do you fill up the wine?
Because they wanted that whenever you're doing anything, the kosher bracha shouldn't be pogum. The Rishonim's.
Negative
pogrom,
right?
No.
What?
The
causes pogrom,
right?
Filling it up.
No. So some Rishonim say that if you add a little bit more to the wine to it, that's considered to be no longer pogrom. That's a shayla. So what we do by the Seder, we take out the wine for the Esamatas, and the minig is to add on a little bit of wine also. That's not as much of a problem because you didn't drink from it, but that's the minig is also, like those Rishonim will say, that's considered to be no longer pogrom. Because the Bar Peh Ofen is not really an integral part of the Bris Milah, in theory you can have a Bris, you can make Asher Kiddush without a kosher of wine. So there's no wine around, no grapes, there's nothing around. But forget it, so you make the Asher Kiddush without the Bar Peh Ofen. So there is a major machlekes to show them what's the proper protocol for a Bris Milah on a Tainus Tzibur. You have a Bris Milah on a fast day, so you got a little bit of a problem with the Bar Peh Ofen. So how is this going to play out? So there's a major machlekes in Rishonim which revolves around the Gemara Maseches Erevin and Daf Mem. The Gemara says in Maseches Erevin that normally on a Yom Tov night, so we recite Shechiyanu. First night of Yom Tov, we recite Shechiyanu, and we recite Shechiyanu like Kosher Yain. We recite Shechiyanu in the context of Kiddush. Even though Mikra Din, you don't have to. Mikra Din, Shechiyanu can be recited afilu bashuk, even in the middle of the street, you can say Shechiyanu. But is supposed to recite it over Kosher Yain, that's considered to be more of a Kavadika way of saying Shechiyanu. It's based on this halacha that Lechatchila Shechiyanu should always be recited ala kosh. That the Gemara, the whole discussion, what do you do about the Shechiyanu on Yom Kippur night? So Shechiyanu also on Yom Kippur, you should recite it over Kosher Yain. So you should get up and shul after come to drink, say, Baruch, that I'm bar priag often, Shechiyanu became out of Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, wait, that's a little bit of a problem. How are you going to make Shechiyanu Kosher Yain to recite it over Kosher Yain? Who's going to drink the wine? Obviously, you're not going to drink the wine. So the Gemara says, what's the big deal? Give it to a child to drink. So the Gemara's whole discussion back and forth, is that a good idea or not? So the Gemara concludes, it's not a good idea to give the kosher Shechiyanu of Yom Kippur to a child, because it's poor chinuch. Because the child is going to think that, oh yeah, when I'm 5 years old, I drink wine, have a couple of little, you know, bit of grape juice on Yom Kippur night, and then when he's 6, and when he's 7, and when he's 13, he thinks, yeah, that's part of, that's what the rabbi did all these years, some of the stuff that I'm supposed to do also, and he doesn't realize that was only because he was under the age of a mitzvah. So therefore the Gemara says, Mishav Asi Lamisrach, it's poor chinuch, we don't do this. So we have no choice in Yom Kippur night, we have lays brera, so we have to recite the Shechiyanu, not of the kosher yayin. But in theory, lechatchila, we would have wanted to do it on the kosher yayin, lays brera, lays brera. So comes Tarshish and quotes the following shayla. But then if you have a bris on a tiny seabor, so is the proper thing to do to recite the bar priag often and give it to a child? So some Rishonim said no. But just as Chazal frowned upon that practice on Yom Kippur, we don't want to give the train to children to think that that's the proper protocol to drink on Yom Kippur. So we don't want to train the children to think that they're going to drink on a tiny seabor as well when they're going to turn bar mitzvah. Next thing you know, you have a bris and shul on after their bar mitzvah. They're going to, by mistake, go ahead and drink the wine. So it's the same poor chinuch that the Gemara Erevin was concerned with. And other Rishonim say, I just got other opinions that say no. Yom Kippur, the problem was, it's a yearly event. It means every year in Yom Kippur, his kids, the last 10 years, he drank grape juice, he has to call it, right? So he thinks that's part of the standard procedure of Yom Kippur. A bris in a tiny seabor, what's happening 5 years? You have a bris in a tiny seabor. Who's going to remember last time we had a bris in a tiny seabor? So the Asil HaMisrach doesn't really apply. So I'm like you said, Rishon, two opinions, whether we are concerned with Asil HaMisrach, whether we're not concerned with Asil HaMisrach. So how do we pass in the Lahalacha? So we have a split sock. So there are more rights, that it depends what the tiny steber is. If the tiny steber is a cow, the katainis, like she was some tamlos or some potatoes, some gedalia, it's a big deal. So what's on the fellach? And even if the child is also in the mitzvah, even if the child's going to goof when he gets older, he'll drink. No, the world don't come to an end if a kid off of my mitzvah takes a little bit of a grape juice on Shmos of the Talmud. It's not the end of the world. So therefore the Ramah writes, when it comes to the quote-unquote minor fast days, so it's more important for us to recite the Bar Peh Ofen. You should recite the Asher Kiddush over Bar Peh Ofen. That's the Chetchila, that's the Minhag Yisrael. You should do it even on a Tainus, and you give it to a child to drink, no big deal. What about a Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, that's serious stakes. That's pretty high. We don't want to take any chances. So the Ramah says that on Yom Kippur, we don't want to do that. We don't want to give it to a child to drink. Give it to a child to drink. So it's a terrible loss of the Mitzvah. Chalila, the child will think you're allowed to drink on Yom Kippur when he gets Bar Mitzvah. So therefore, question is, therefore what? So what should we do? So if you would have asked me, I would have said, therefore, so forget the Bar Peh Ofen. So you don't need the Bar Peh Ofen. It's a makim anyway. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Shulchan Aruch says you have a bris in Yom Kippur. So you don't make a Bar Peh Ofen. Finished. So the Ramah, somehow we don't want to be mevater on that kosher yayin. He wants that cup of wine to be said. He wants to make a Bar Peh Ofen. But you can't give it to a child. So who do you give it to, says the Ramah? You give it to the only child there who's never going to remember when he turns by mitzvah. You give it to the baby. So says the Ramah, you get up and you say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Bar Peh Ofen. Asher Kidesh, and you take a little bit of wine, put it on the pacifier, and give it to the baby to drink. So the Acharonim ask him, "Hello, Chacham Moshe Brachol Batala." Says Bishlama, if you give it to a child who's 5-6 years old, so the child is chayav in brachas b'shem chinuch. So I'm saying the bracha on behalf of the child. The baby, the Chacham Moshe Brachol Batala. The baby, he can be a very, very religious, spiritual baby at the age of 8 days. The pachas, he's not chayav in mitzvahs yet. He's not about chinuch yet. So what kind of story is that? The game, they're making the bracha and then giving it to the baby. It's a very, very difficult minig of the Rambam. So they try to be miyashiv, how to answer up, how to be miyashiv shot in this minig of the Rambam. But the mice, that's what the Rambam says. So anyone been in a person in Kippur? I've never been in one.
So what's about
Tishba? Tishba. Tishba was a spell. Tishba, we have another eight. In a second, with the eight is on Tishba. So what do they do? What do they do? Yeah, so what do they do?
They give it to the baby.
That's the minig of the Rambam.
What about his mother at the time?
Oh, so we'll see in a second. We'll see in a second. So all these eitzes, all these papulim are assuming that there's nobody available who can really drink the wine. So the question is, wait a second, the mother's available, but the mother drink the wine. So that's what the person was saying, look at me, that if the mother's there at the bris and she's able to drink the wine, so not tov. Except in Yom Kippur, she's not allowed to drink the wine. Because in Yom Kippur, it's already after 7 days. She's already a cholish ein b'sakan at this point. Technically speaking, in Yom Kippur, a woman who just gave birth, and she's mamish just gave birth, within 3 days, and she's not allowed to fast in Yom Kippur. But it's already more than 3 days, so we spoke about this in the Wednesday night shiur, that if it's within 7 days, is the bris considered to be within 7 days, so it's already on the 8th day. So it's not so posh that the woman's permitted to eat, especially if she doesn't have a need to drink. It's time to give you a lettuce, to a couple of grape juice, so that really wouldn't be appropriate. So in Yom Kippur, that's why we don't have that eight. In Yom Kippur, the woman, the mother just gave birth, is not an option. On Tisha B'Av, she may be able to save us, because the Shulchan Aruch paskens that a woman who gave birth within 30 days is not obligated technically to fast on Tisha B'Av, because she's a cholosha ein by sekona, and a cholosha ein by sekona technically is not obligated to fast even on Tisha B'Av. So therefore, on Tisha B'Av, we could solve the problem. Tisha B'Av, you can give the grape juice to the mother, and that would solve the problem. So anyone been in a person Tisha B'Av?
That was very
complicated. That the pashas is even
the
father.
Sunday was Sunday Tishvah, which was supposed to be Shabbos, and the bris was had been nidcha because the child wasn't well.
Right. So the pashas is that even the father can eat in the afternoon, but not at the bris itself. He has to wait. He has to fast half the day and then eat in the afternoon. That's based on the Gemara must observe it in a different context. So I don't know. So the mice and the Ramah writes, and you know, Kippur the minig is to give it to the baby. Another tiny is the minig is that a child drinks. I think in Tisha B'Av. You want to remember? Okay, I don't remember. I don't think I've ever been in prison. I don't remember. So up to now we've been talking about all the brachas that are recited at a bris. So the Alamil is for sure recited, the Lachis is for sure recited, Asher Kiddush is for sure recited, but Pregofen is kind of recited, it's supposed to be recited normally, Lachat Chil is supposed to be recited. There's one last bracha that we'll conclude with, that's the bracha of Shechiyanu. So the bracha Shechiyanu, we would have expected that to be recited. It's a wonderful opportunity to recite a Shechiyanu. Yet, in our practice, the bracha Shechiyanu is not recited. So what is the issue? Why should Shechiyanu be recited? Why should Shechiyanu not be recited? So this is a major, major machlokes that we've shown him. Happens to be today. We're learning Kate Mavarch in Yeshivas. That's today. So yeah, it's Mamash to Brothers. Okay, Av Yechap, don't act this morning, Shia. Don't answer anything to the. So there's a major machlokes that we showed him. Should we recite Shechiyanu at a bris b'chlal? So the problem is that we find certain mitzvahs that we do recite Shechiyanu and other mitzvahs that we don't. Let's say the mitzvah of Lulav, the Gemara says you recite Shechiyanu. Sukkah, you recite Shechiyanu. There was Chanukah, the Gemara says, in the Sefer Shabbos, you recite Shechiyanu. Chris and Megillah, you recite Shechiyanu. Whereas other mitzvahs, Pidgin Aveni recite Shechiyanu. A lot of mitzvahs that we do recite Shechiyanu, and yet some mitzvahs that we don't necessarily recite Shechiyanu. Putting on tefillin, we don't say Shechiyanu. Wearing tzitzis, we don't say Shechiyanu. So what's pshat? When do you say Shechiyanu? When do you not say Shechiyanu? So the Rambam in Menuchas Brachas develops the following Yisrael. The Rambam says that the klal of Shechiyanu is very simple. The secret of Shechiyanu is found in the last two words. Lazman hazeh. Whenever it's a mitzvah, bom yizman lazman. Whenever it's a mitzvah that comes at a specific time during the year, then and only then it warrants a Shechiyanu. So for example, Tekiyah Shofar, you blow Shofar once a year on Rosh Hashanah. Sukkah, Lulav, Tekiyah Megillah, then Chanukah, those are mitzvahs which are both yizman lazman. Therefore you require a Shechiyanu. So says the Rambam, but I have a Chiddush, says the Rambam. What if you have a particular mitzvah that's a mitzvah she'ena mitzuya? It's a mitzvah that doesn't get performed every day. It's not a daily kind of a mitzvah. On the other hand, it doesn't have a zman lazman. It's a mitzvah that gets performed every couple of years, or once every 20 years. A mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah mitzuya tamid. So then the Rambam says that's also considered a pialocha, like a mitzvah ba mizman mizman. How does the Rambam know that? For the sugi about pidgin aben, the Gemara, the very last sugi of Masechet Pesachim says that Shechiyonu is recited on a pidgin aben. The Gemara just has a shot. Who says it? The father of the kohen. And then again, the Gemara concludes that we pass it that the father says it. But clearly Shechiyonu is recited at a pidgin aben. So the Rambam says, why is the Shechiyonu recited at a pidgin aben? It's not a ba mizman mizman. It's not that every year you make a pidgin aben. So the Rambam says it must be the Chazal understood that a mitzvah which is eina mitzuya, a mitzvah that's not so common, has the halachic status of a mitzvah ba mizman mizman, and therefore you recite Shechiyonu. So the Rambam then extrapolated from pidgin aben to bris. So the Rambam bris means also not so mitzuya. There are a lot of brisim going on, but I'm not making brisim all the time. A person is not going to be making a bris that often. Every year? That's a pretty good rate, is making a bris every year. So that person makes a bris every 3 years. You got a cheshbon out. He has girls once in a while. So make a cheshbon, it's not so mitzuya. So the Rambam says that bris milah is like pidgin aben, and just as pidgin aben you recite a bracha shechiyonu because the mitzvah she'ena mitzuya tadir, so too the mitzvah bris milah warrants the shechiyonu because it's ena mitzuya tadir. This is the shittas of Rambam. So many Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. The Rambam concluded that lamaisi you do recite shechiyonu or bris. So many Rishonim disagreed for many, many different reasons. So some Rishonim question the whole category of the Rambam. Some Rishonim say that's not why you make a shechiyonu with a pidgin aben. You make a shechiyonu with a pidgin aben for a totally different reason. The Baal HaMorim, as I was talking right, you make a shechiyonu with a pidgin aben because you're so excited that the baby lived for 30 days. So when you have a mitzvah that's associated with a joyous event that the baby's alive, b'chashem, the baby's well, so it's no longer a safek neifel, that's why you make shechiyonu. But stam shechiyonu with a mitzvah, which is not an official mitzvah, which warrants shechiyonu, they say. So according to the Baal HaMorim, according to other Rishonim who say like the Baal HaMorim, so shechiyonu with pidgin aben has nothing to do with this. Shechiyonu with bris milah. So the Taka never reason to begin with to think that there should be a shechiyonu with a bris. Tosfos writes in Masechet Becharos that even if the Rambam is right, they don't quote the Rambam by name, but even if the Rambam is right that shechiyonu with bris milah is because it's ain't a mitzuya, but bris milah is much much more mitzuya than pidgin aben. Pidgin aben is once in a lifetime. The koshi, most people never get to make a pidgin aben. The rate of making a pidgin aben is highly, highly unlikely. To make a simple cheshbon, every other baby, 50-50, babies are girls, babies are boys. That's what we think the 50-50 are. In the shidduch world, I'll tell you that's not true, but somehow we're not sure what happened in 25 years. But lamais b'shas later, the numbers are pretty close to 50-50. So there's a very good chance that you're not going to have a boy. And then even if you have a boy, you may be a kohen, you may be a lady, she may be a baslan, she may be a baslevi. And in America, there's 1 out of 4 deliveries of cesarean approximately. So the numbers, the percentage of having a pidgin aben are so unlikely. So that's called the mitzvah she'ena mitzuya, says Tosfos. But bris milah all the time, every Monday and Thursday, literally. Better happen Monday and Thursday. Every Shana v'chamishi we have bris milah. Somebody once commented to me that they noticed that at the Sobolovsky home we don't buy breakfast cereals because we don't have to give our kids breakfast. We just walk around from bris to bris collecting bagels. And sometimes it's not true. There are certain weeks where that feels that way. And so bris milah is a pretty common, pretty irregular mitzvah. So therefore, Tosfos writes that even if the Rambam is right about pidgin aben, he's not right about bris milah. So some Rishonim say that it wasn't even a half a minute to decide a shechiyonu or a bris because there's no concept of a mitzvah, she'ena mitzuya. And Tosfos says even if there is such a concept, it doesn't play out by bris. And other Rishonim write that no, we don't say shechiyonu or bris for a different reason. The Gemara says in the Yidam HaSechus Ksubis that we don't say shasimcha b'mona with a bris because mishum tzar yanuka, that the baby's suffering, so it's not such a simcha. The baby's crying, pidgin aben, the baby's not crying so much, but that's a shalosh. She says she has simcha b'mono with pidgin aben. It's a further shalosh. And the chasen, everybody's happy. Everybody's dancing, so you say she has simcha b'mono. But a bris, so the baby's crying, so you don't say she has simcha b'mono. So some Rishonim say that the same reason that you don't say she has simcha b'mono, you don't say shechiyonu also. To which the Rambam would say, my Indian day to Lash, a simcha b'mono. You don't want to mention Oshem Simcha, but Shechiyonu could say, even an Ovel could say Shechiyonu, so it's not a stira. So it's based on these three objections to the saying of Shechiyonu. Different Rishonim objected for different reasons. Some Rishonim said the whole Rambam's category is not right. Other Rishonim said the Rambam's extrapolation to Bris Milah is not right. And other Rishonim said that even though the Rambam theory is right, Lamais is not right because of the problem of Tzad Yanuka. So it's based on these different opinions that they're developed really two different Menachem and Klal Yisrael about saying Shechiyonu. So we're basically boiled down to those who follow the Shittas of Rambam, so say Shechiyonu. Those who don't follow the Shittas of Rambam, don't say Shechiyonu. So the Svardim them do recite Shechiyonah out of Bris Milah, not surprising. And in Eretz Yisrael, the minhag has become to say Shechiyonah, because that was the minhag Agra. Agra felt that the Rambam was correct in this, and many of the minhagim Agra seeped into Eretz Yisrael. Very often you have this, whenever you have a minhagim that the Sfaradim and the Talmid Agra agreed upon, that became the prevalent minhag in Eretz Yisrael. That's one of the reasons why nobody in Eretz Yisrael with Tzvon and Cholamoy, because the Gra held that way, and the Chassidim held that way, and the Sfaradim held that way. So whenever all those three groups joined together, that became the predominant minhag in Eretz Yisrael. So to over here, the Sfaradim held this way, and the Gra held this way, so that became the minhag in Eretz Yisrael that Shechiyonah is recited, even by the Ashkenazi communities. Whereas in America, in Chutz Laaretz, so we follow, most of us don't follow this minhag, most of us don't follow the minhag Gra, so most of us don't follow the minhag of the Shulchan Aruch, we follow the minhag of the Ramah, and the Ramah quotes from the Ashkenazi, we show them not to recite a Shechiyonah. So yesh v'yesh, every once in a while you'll see it in a bris in America also, but for the most part, most of us don't recite it in deference to those who show them will disagree. But again, it's an ongoing machlokes with different minhagim Yisrael ad hayom. I think we could just not make a siyum on sugyas of bris milah. So I hope we'll see next week. So I thought maybe we'd start some in Yom of Geirus. Geirus is a natural continuation of some of the sugyas of bris milah and some very, very serious shailas of mice that that come away from the Geirus.
Is there some sort of minute or something that they signed and didn't bother to eat on?